Hello, it is January 11th, 2016. You are looking live at Athens, Georgia. This is episode 628 of the Will Leach Experience podcast on sports on Earth. I am the aforementioned Will Leach, and I thank you for spending part of your day with me. If you'll forgive me, I am very tired. I was there last night, Monday night, in, where was I? Tampa. That's where I was. To watch that epic, incredible, but good Lord, how long football game between the now national champion, Clemson Tigers, and the former national champion, Alabama Crimson Tide. I wrote a piece for it for Sports on Earth. And then I got on a plane at 8 o'clock in the morning out of Tampa Airport to come back to Georgia just in time to do this podcast today with Andrea Hanks, who is one of the best NFL writers I know. She was an NFL writer here for us here at Sports on Earth. We're going to talk to her in a second. I slept about 90 minutes, which is actually more than I think a lot of people I know got to sleep after that game, because it was a football game that lasted 4.5 hours. Yeah. But it was obviously very exciting. But we're not going to talk about college football yet. I'm sure we'll have Matt Brown to talk about the ramifications of that game at some point in the next couple of weeks, because that was amazing. But for now, we are going to preview the divisional round, exciting times of the NFL playoffs, with Andrea Hanks. Follow her on Twitter at @FBall_Andrea, FBALL_ANDREA. Please give us a review on iTunes. I'm begging you to do this, by the way. Give me just the last review is about the sound on the podcast, which I think we've mostly fixed. So just go on there and just say, Will looks like a duck. 5 stars. That's fine. I do not look like a duck, though. Can you tell I haven't slept? Anyway, we're going to preview the NFL divisional round. But please give us a nice review on iTunes. Music's by the Sundogs. All that sort of stuff. Holler anytime. Here is Andrea Hanks. All right, hello. Andrea, I'm putting you personally. First off, thank you for coming on with me. I apologize. I didn't mean to. Thanks for coming on. I'm happy to have you here.
I appreciate it. Thank you. It's good to be back.
Yeah, you're dealing with a very groggy host right now, as I mentioned in the intro, so bear with me. I may get slightly confused and start hallucinating a bear or something.
Perfect.
So bear with me. It'll be fun. Yeah. Just know that if it happens, just, you know, feel free to calm me down and not like be like, Will, the bear's after you, because then it'll just be the podcast will go into chaos, sort of like it is right now.
Which bear, though? Is it like Jay Cutler? Like,
oh, that actually is scarier than a real bear. Now that you mention it. Okay, so we're just going to go through each one of these games. We're all hoping for a much more exciting weekend than the one that we just had, to say the least. And I hopefully the college football game not both inspired it to be a good game, but not to be a 4.5 hour game. Good heavens. But anyway. Also, I'm expecting Hockley to show up like massive this week after being showed up by that guy yesterday. All right, so let's start with the first game, 4:30 Saturday, Seahawks at Falcons. I was on the Pro Football Now show I do for Sports Illustrated, and I am officially the guy that no longer believes in the Seahawks. And the Lions game did not make me feel very better. But, I mean, they certainly looked better, but I think I said more about the Lions and the Seahawks. I feel like their offensive line is actually one of the worst in the NFL, not just in the playoffs right now. And the Falcons are this team that we've kind of underappreciated all year. I think finally in the last couple of weeks, basically because everyone just needed an MVP to vote for, people are starting to appreciate kind of what the Falcons have done this year. But it seems to me, and I not only do I encourage you to correct me if I'm wrong, I beg you to do so. It seems to me that the thing the Seahawks have going for them is history and kind of like experience and winning in these playoffs. And the Falcons have just about everything else going for them. Am I overstating it?
No, I think you're completely correct. I think going into the playoffs, for me, the Seahawks were a really difficult team to pin down. You know, who is this team? What is this identity? And yeah, they, you know, you're correct. You know, they have the history, they have the experience in the playoffs, things that are quite important this time of year. But it's hard to determine what the Seattle identity is. You know, for years, it was the run game, it was Marshawn Lynch, it was Russell Wilson's ability to also, you know, create plays with his legs and all of that. And, you know, he spends part of the season with an ankle injury, with a knee injury. You look at the latter half of their regular season, and it, you know, they're alternating wins and losses. And then, you know, you kind of question whether they have a run game, and then last week have nearly 180 rushing yards against the Detroit Lions. So is this a run team again? Can it be a run team again now that Thomas Rawls is back? It's very confusing to me. But at the same time, it sort of reminds me of a lot of the New York Giants teams that have gone on to, you know, win the Super Bowl, beat the New England Patriots, because they've had like weird seasons going into those, into the postseason. You know, they'll win all of the games the first half of the season and lose a bunch in the second half, or vice versa, or alternate wins and losses throughout the year. And there's that air of unpredictability there that I guess makes them a wild card, even though they're not a wild card team.
what is that? It does feel that, like, I mean, in a lot of ways, the Falcons have been historically on offense this year. And we're kind of late to appreciate it just because no one really believes Ryan's going to do anything in the playoffs. But it does feel like very well set up for them now. I'm curious, just from your view, what's been different about Ryan this year? And is that something that we should expect to see carry over into the playoffs?
I think Matt Ryan has just essentially come into his own as a quarterback. I mean, I think this has always been there with him. I think we've seen it for years. There's been so many seasons where no one knows really what to say about the Atlanta Falcons, but they can, you know, pinpoint, well, Matt Ryan, you know, he's a franchise quarterback, regardless of even, you know, if he's maybe doesn't entertain you. He doesn't seem like, you know, he's a fiery leader or anything like that. But you could always kind of point to Matt Ryan and be like, well, that's stability. I think Kyle Shanahan and his fingerprint that he's put on that offense is meshing really well with what the Falcons set out to do, what they're set up to do offensively with Matt Ryan and his receivers and his offensive line and the run game. And I think it's just a perfect storm. It's a good combination. I think the Falcons are being overlooked. Matt Ryan is being overlooked. I know that, like you said, the past couple of weeks when we need an MVP to vote for, right, now we talk about Matt Ryan. But this is a very good football team, and that's just the facts. The Atlanta Falcons might not like get you up in the morning, but like they're good.
They definitely, after that game last night, would not get me up in the morning, but no. ordinarily they might. It's funny because, you know, this does, they've come on late, and, you know, it's always a little bit of a fallacy to assume that a team that's hot late is the one that just keeps going in the playoffs. Like, we've seen teams, sometimes you see teams get rolling, and some teams, I always think of that Arizona Cardinals team that went to the Super Bowl, which was terrible pretty much for the last month of the season, and then just finally got hot at the right time. And the Falcons seem to be coming together a little bit in that regard. But for me, you know, we'll see what happens this could be the last game, the NFL game at the Georgia Dome. Mm-hmm. This could be like a big thing for me. If Matt Ryan's ever going to have that crossover moment, he's really been terrific this year. If he's ever going to have that crossover moment, this feels like that's when that's going to happen. And so I'm ultimately picking the Falcons this game, obviously, because I've been trash talking the Seahawks the whole time. But in this matchup of both birds, both aquatic and not aquatic, who are you picking?
I'm going to go with the Atlanta Falcons, and I do think it's going to be kind of the year Matt Ryan comes into his own. I don't know if it's going to take them all the way to the Super Bowl, but it feels Joe Flacco-esque, right? Yeah. You know, are we going to be asking in 2017, is Matt Ryan elite quarterback?
remember when that Weisenheimer asked Trump that in like one of his chats?
Yeah, boy.
That was back when it was kind of funny to do that. Now it seems less so.
Now it's like, oh.
Yeah, now it seems like, oh, wait, were we part of the problem by goofing off with that?
Yeah, I think we were.
Yeah, let's forget I mentioned that. Okay, so Seahawks, Falcons. Then we go to the, I think it's hard, difficult to argue, not the sort of dullest game of the week. Texans at Patriots. I think last time I saw, I don't like to talk about lines too much, but it's hard to ignore. I think it's up to 16 points in this game, which is big for like a regular season game. It's funny. I think the last playoff game that had this big of a line, going back to my Arizona Cardinals, was actually the Arizona Cardinals in 1998, the first time they'd made the playoffs since I was like six. And they played that Vikings team with Cunningham and Moss and the one I was all excited about. And that did, in fact, turn out to be a blowout. Is there any way I still feel like this Patriots team has – this is not a dominant Patriots team as we've seen in the past. It's, I think, just their competition has not been able to kind of rise to them. And it feels like that's going to kind of happen again. Like, even if the Patriots don't really have it going, it's weird that the divisional round would have something that would – have a little bit of a rest your starters game a little bit when you can, but it's hard to rub my eyes in any sort of scenario that thinks the Texans have a chance. I'm curious, as someone that's watched I know you've done a lot with the AFC, that's watched the Texans this year, and particularly Osweiler, is he really that bad? It was amazing to me, this guy that they spent all this money in the offseason. We actually went into that Raiders matchup where it was him against the third string quarterback who is starting his first ever game. And most people were considering the quarterback matchup a wash. Like, is Osweiler that bad? Or is, like, what have we learned about why he's so bad this year that's different than what he was doing in Denver?
The issue with Brock Osweiler is more of a, like, the desperation of the Houston Texans. I mean, if you think back a year ago, it was, you know, five or six quarterbacks that they had ended up putting on the field, not just injury, you know, not just due to injury, but also kind of ineffectual play. And they had the opportunity to get somebody, and they outbid Denver for the ability for Brock Osweiler to stay there, and they got him. And I think it's sort of, it makes me think about, like, Matt Flynn. And the Seattle Seahawks getting Matt Flynn, but the Houston Texans didn't have a Russell Wilson to outplay him in training camp in the preseason. And you kind of end up in this situation, you know, and I don't know, you know, there's nothing they can really do. You know, financially speaking, they're tied to him for 2017. And, you know, either he's going to be their starter or they're going to have a very expensive backup. You know, it's a very unfortunate matchup for Houston, and you are correct. It doesn't feel like that dominant Patriots team like we've seen in the past, but they're like making up for their lack of muscle with brain power. You know, they're extra clever this year, and I think that speaks a lot to, you know, that further cements the importance of the Brady Belichick connection. There are ways. There is a path, a very narrow and specific path, but there's a path where Houston can win this game, and it's
kidnapping the bus, stopping the bus, like stopping the bus at the team hotel, and it doesn't make it to Gillette Stadium. Is that it?
That's one. Actually, okay, there's two. Yeah. bringing the heat on Tom Brady, because no quarterback likes pressure, but Tom Brady, from what I've seen over the years, he is a quarterback that when you bring the heat on him, he gets frustrated to the nth degree. He starts getting, you know, like when you see him, they show him on the sidelines, fired up, screaming at some O-lineman or whatever. He gets like that in response to pressure, and he gets flustered, and he starts like really like forcing things and making mistakes. And so that is an opening for the Houston Texans, because they have a very good defense. That being said, I don't know if they can do that on a consistent basis in Foxborough, knowing what they're staring down. On the other hand, it's kind of motivation, right? Nobody thinks they have a chance. Aren't they gonna go out there and they're gonna be fired up, right?
It is kind of funny to think, like, imagine if they had just had a league average quarterback for the last 5 years, the Texans. They make the playoffs every year, and they always toss out the worst quarterbacks. And you just think about what they could do if they could give that, like, if, because I mean, with Watt being out, it does feel like this has been Clowney's time. Like, this is the time where he's just like, oh, I'm Jadeveon Clowney, I'm freaking awesome. And the particularly scary guy for Brady. But it's funny, because even if, like, Brady, as you say, has like one of those rattled games and they really get in on him, it's still, hard to imagine him making enough mistakes that Osweiler can do anything about it.
Yeah.
Is this a game where you give the ball to Lamar Miller 35 times and then just hope Brady gets hurt or makes a big mistake? Like, it does feel like it just feels that no matter what happens, talking about guys being bad with pressure, Osweiler gets really scared when you come after. I think it's been one of the major issues with him. It, like, for me, that's really the thing. And they are stuck with him for a while, right? Like, there was this is not like they could they like the way the cap's structured, they can't just like cut Osweiler after the year and move on. That investment
Right.
that they made, that they I
They
mean,
have one. They have one more year until, like,
they can't
they
even
have.
think about
They,
it, right?
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeesh. Yeesh. Well, I don't know. Well, that would be a nice touch if Osweiler just suddenly got hot and Clowney knocked out Brady. But I have to say, I don't see that happening. I feel like New
No.
England is all set up. It is good for those of us that spent their Monday night up all night. It will ha good to have that one Saturday, the Saturday night game that will allow us to go to bed a little bit earlier. That's my hope from this game.
Correct.
But also, I say that because I'm very old and very, very, very weak. So I think it's hard not to pick the Patriots. As I assume you pick the Patriots as well.
Yeah, I picked the Patriots. It's hard not to. I mean, the situation. I mean, look at it.
Yes, it's not good. It's not a pleasant place. All right, so now we'll go over to Sunday. Then the Sunday, I think both games are pretty thrilling. I actually ranked the games in my previous reports on Earth and had I think I had the Packers Cowboys first and then Seahawks Falcons Steelers Chiefs both pretty close. I went up the Steelers Chiefs second though because it does feel when you talk about New England, assuming New England wins that game. I think it's kind of a fun little question of which team is a harder matchup for New England, which one to win this game. Because on one hand, you know the Chiefs are the type of team that plays ball control as well as anybody does, with a quarterback that very rarely throws interceptions and keeps every game close, even if the other team may have like more firepower and more offensive talent. And if you keep it close, of course, that gives you that chance to win. So that's the type of thing. If anytime you're in a close game. Therefore, you by definition have a better chance of winning it. On the other hand, the Steelers feel they've got all of this firepower. They're the ones that feels like they can not only match the Patriots in scoring, but in fact best them in that regard because they've got those guys. They've got Bell, Brown, and of course Roethlisberger putting those guys together. They all seem to like finally be clicking, except for this thing with Roethlisberger's ankle, or maybe it's his leg. He wore the boot and freaked everybody out because the one thing they needed to not have happen in that game was have any of those three guys, be hurt. I'm curious, going into this game, this feels like such a contrast. Like the Steelers are just going to try to score a bunch of points, and the Chiefs are going to try to control it. This feels like a fascinating matchup because they're just two teams that are just two that they go after it so two entirely different ways.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be a great matchup. I think these teams, it's like you said, just a contrast in styles. I'm not too worried about Ben Roethlisberger. All the reports are that it was a precautionary walking boot. He's not wearing it now. Mike Tomlin didn't really talk about it in the post-game press conference, and not to evade questions, it's just Ben's, it's Roethlisberger.
Right,
There's his degrees of hurt are different than everybody else's. And I mean, yeah, they're gonna be out there trying to score all those points. I mean, why not? You got Le'Veon Bell, you got Antonio Brown. But you know, I think, you know, the Steelers defense too, I think has been kind of overlooked because of the star power that they have on offense. They're the best defense in the NFL, in terms of sacks and turnovers. The final 7 weeks of the season, they did it again, against the Miami Dolphins. So that's gonna be interesting. How the level that they can affect Alex Smith on offense is going to be, when they're on defense, is going to be very important in this game because, as you said, you know, the Chiefs are really great at ball control. They're smart at not turning it over quite often. And they like to stay on the field and they're good at it. So if the Steelers can get them off the field, which they should, but it's a cool matchup. This is gonna be a cool game.
Yeah, it's funny when you look. I think we had someone brought up the figure that Alex Smith, other than Brady, Alex Smith has won the most games of anyone. Like Alex Smith has this incredible record, and he like so rarely throws interceptions. And it's funny because I feel like we all have this idea that the NFL is obviously a quarterback driven league, And we don't really think of Smith being that guy. But
he's only thrown 15 touchdowns this
right,
year.
Right. But of course, they don't need him to do that. That's the idea, right? And I'm curious when it comes to someone like Tyreek Hill. To me, Tyreek Hill, for whatever his off-field issues, certainly he changes things for the Chiefs. He's the guy. Yes. I mean, this is a team that didn't have a wide receiver score a touchdown a couple years ago. Now they've got this threat. To me, if anything changes the look of that team, it's him not just being able to score, but like now they have to account for him, which gives Kelce room across the middle. To me, he is like a major wild card of this game. Not just whether he gets a big play, but he's just a thing that people usually don't have to worry about when they play the Chiefs, and now they have to worry about it.
Absolutely, and the Steelers have been known on special teams to give up big plays. So that's another place where Tyreek Hill is a threat. And then when you think about who's going to be trying to cover Hill, because there's no doubt in my mind that as a receiver, Hill is going to be used all over the middle of the field. And when he's not, it's going to be Kelce. And then you have Ryan Shazier, who's an extremely fast linebacker, but otherwise you have a rookie safety in Sean Davis, who's going to have to account for the middle of the field, or Lawrence Timmons, who, you know, has been good in coverage, but is in the latter stages of his career. So I would figure that that's an area of the field that the Chiefs are really going to try to exploit against the Steelers defense.
Yeah, it'll be funny the way that this feels. Like it feels like as close as we're going to get to like that Steelers-Ravens game that seems like we always get in the playoffs.
Yes.
The Chiefs are a Ravens-type team a little bit. But it's funny, one aspect of this I think has been lost a little bit. They're going to be nuts at Arrowhead. They're going to be absolutely crazy this game. You know, they finally broke through with a playoff win last year. I mean, I guess kind of. they beat Houston and Hoyer, yeah. Brian Hoyer and everything. So it does count officially as a playoff win, if not emotionally. But to me, this is, you know, that winning in week 17 and having the Raiders fall put the Chiefs in this spot to have this game. This is all they could possibly ask for, to have this game at home. And they've been trying to get, they're kind of similar to the Falcons, really, and not in style of play, of course, but just like a team that is pretty consistently pretty good, is never rarely bottoms out, but has never really like jumped up to that next level. This is that opportunity for them against, of course, obviously one of the league's most storied franchises.
Yeah, it's a really nice moment being set up here for the Chiefs, and the best place they could do it in Arrowhead. So, there's no walk in the park here for the Steelers. The Steelers, you know, you think about the Steelers, you think about the Chiefs, and you go, oh, of course, Pittsburgh Steelers, they're going to win this game. There's no guarantees here. This is going to be fun times.
Okay, so let's hear. Who are you picking?
I want to pick the Steelers, but I'm leaning Chiefs.
You're leaning Chiefs. It's fine. I would like to see. I feel like this. Well, a nice little subplot to this weekend are those teams, the Falcons and the Chiefs, trying to like finally break through into that next tier. And I feel like the Falcons have a better chance of doing it than the Chiefs. But I have to say, Hill makes the difference for me. I feel like Hill is the guy and I know Roethlisberger has a different threshold for pain, but still, I mean, like the whole thing is everyone's supposed to be healthy at the same time. That's the thing the Steelers have going, is they need everybody to be healthy at the same time. That's why nobody played in week 17. They're all building up for that. So I'd say I'm with you. I'm picking the Chiefs as well. And I may be very stupid to be picking the two teams. I'm constantly disappointing the playoffs to go through. But hey, I've got Clemson fever. I just think
it's been a weird year.
Yeah,
why not?
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of weird years, the Dallas Cowboys had the best record in the NFC with a rookie running back and a rookie quarterback who was supposed to start behind Kellen Moore before, which seems kind of hilarious now to think that Kellen Moore was going to be their thing. Obviously, 4:40 p.m. on Fox, Packers at Cowboys. Whoever won that Packers-Giants game was going to be a pretty awesome matchup for the Cowboys. I've joked before how kind of almost upsetting it is that this Cowboys team is kind of likable. I'm not used to Cowboys teams being likable. Again,
I agree.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, they're like, I mean, Elliott, obviously, he's really good. Again, he has some off-field issues too. But like, you know, they have these rookie, this exciting rookie running back. They have this great offensive line. And even Dez Bryant's become kind of like a baby face this year. I never really disliked him in the first place, but I think now definitely a guy who like had thought to have been this one sort of player, one sort of troublemaker, whether he was or he wasn't, clearly has become a fan favorite this year. He's like enjoying the spotlight. He's enjoying winning. It's amazing what winning can do for you. But to me, it's really Dak. Like, Dak is the story that everybody likes. There's this awesome guy that was unappreciated. He's the new Brady. You know, he's the underappreciated guy who was picked late, wasn't expected to start, and comes in and is an MVP candidate in his first year and is exactly what that team needs. Which is funny, though, because I feel like all that's going to be erased if they lose this game. The Cowboys are all about winning in the postseason. Like, this is what they've wanted for so long. People forget it's been almost 30 years since the Cowboys have won the Super Bowl. Like, I think about 25 years. I mean, people think of the Cowboys as this, you know, this constant, like the Cowboys have bandwagon fans. I feel like they've actually been down long enough that if you are a Cowboys fan, even if you were a bandwagon Cowboys fan, you've earned your right on the bandwagon now because they haven't been that great for so long. And so for me, the thing that's scary about this matchup for them is it runs into Aaron Rodgers playing at absolute peak Aaron Rodgers form. And, I picked the Giants in that Packers game largely because I thought with that pass rush and with some of the secondary issues that the Packers had, that he was going to have to be perfect. It turned out that the secondary held up a little bit better, but it didn't matter because he was still perfect anyway.
He was still perfect.
And so I think that's the thing in this. The Cowboys defense, frankly, is probably not as strong as the Giants defense is. I think, and for me, that's why I warned about this is what's interesting is as much fun as it's been this year, the Cowboys win games by running the ball, controlling the clock, doing all that. I don't know if they're going to be, will they be able to do that against the Packers with Rodgers playing the way that he is right now?
It's going to be difficult, to say the least. I mean, the Cowboys, they've done a really good job this year. And I'm very impressed with Dak Prescott. I mean, I was watching him in the preseason, not behind the starting offensive line, and just being amazed with how much he looked like a veteran. And it's continued throughout the regular season, and it's taking them all the way to the playoffs and a first round bye and all of that. It does, you know, it makes me nervous. The faces of your franchise right now are two rookies in the playoffs, and you know they can be talented, you know, all you want, but you know, getting, you know, not having that kind of playoff atmosphere experience does matter. And Aaron Rodgers, I think Dak Prescott is able, and especially with the assistance of Ezekiel Elliott, I think that offense is capable of point for point with Aaron Rodgers. It's difficult. There's probably not going to be any Jordy Nelson out there for Aaron Rodgers this week with the broken ribs. But even after Jordy Nelson got hurt, Aaron Rodgers still out there just doing his thing, and he's in the zone right now. This is a difficult game. I mean, it's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, to say at least. And it's funny, you know, with all the talk of low ratings this year for one reason or the other, the idea, I mean, there's no way people aren't losing that. I think it's Fox at Super Bowl this year. That for Fox to, because there's the 24 reboot that's on app.
That's debuting after it, right?
And it's funny, that's how I remember the network that's having the game is whatever show they're trying to launch.
No, they're after the Super Bowl.
Exactly.
Like, okay, that's where the Super Bowl is being aired.
Exactly. But if they could get a Cowboys Patriots Super Bowl,
Cowboys Patriots just. Yes. Boom.
Executives'
heads would explode.
Yeah, I know. It makes me want to make it Texas Falcons just to make them upset. But to me, that's kind of where I come down in this game, though, is it, you talked about Prescott and the Cowboys being able to match the Packers. Now, that's really the question is it's even without Nelson, we've seen, like, Cobb had a very nice game against the Lions.
My
fellow Illini, Geronimo Allison, has come out kind of out of nowhere and turned into be a reliable target for him. So, you know, that's, we saw last year that what kind of noise Rodgers could make without Nelson. And I feel like he's got better receivers this year than he last year. And frankly, is playing better. For the last, let's say he's not going to be the MVP because the first half was so rough. But for the second half of the season, I just don't know if there's been a better player in football than Aaron Rodgers. And so for me, it's hard because I do like this Cowboys team. And it is a shame. This is kind of the way it works now because the Cowboys have had this great season and it's kind of fallen right for them and they've been exciting and fun to watch. And if they lose the playoff game, it's all going to be pointless and there's going to be more Romo stuff and it's going to be all that sort of thing.
It is.
Like, exactly. Like, there's things that are just like, oh, like it's really fun to watch football and talk about football. And then, like, something weird happens with a high profile team and everybody loses their minds. It's like not fun to talk about anymore. So, I'd say let me hear your pick because I keep going back and forth on this one. But what's your pick in this game?
Well, both of these teams have scored well over 400 points in the regular season, but the Packers have given up more than the Dallas Cowboys. And this game is in Dallas. So I am going to pick them boys. I'm going to go with the
All
Dallas
right. All right. I want to. I'm not though. I'm picking. For
Cowboys.
me, I got burned last week by picking the Giants over the Packers.
Fair enough.
I just kind of think Rodgers, the way he's playing right now, he's I
It's
think
insane.
I
It
think
is
he yeah,
insane.
I think he might be unstoppable right now. So I am picking Rodgers, and I'm picking the Packers. The even without Nelson. And it is. I mean, it looks like there's no way he's gonna play him. He's got broken ribs. Of course, I don't know. I mean, who knows what football players I mean it's ridiculous that they play in the first place, to be honest. So I'm picking the Packers. Okay, so let's extrapolate this out to the next round. So in your matchup, you've got in the AFC Championship game, you've got Patriots
Yes.
and you've got Steelers.
Well, I'm
Sorry,
leaning Chiefs.
Chiefs. I meant
Chiefs.
Chiefs. You got Chiefs and Patriots. Can the Chiefs take out the Patriots?
Maybe.
Okay, well that narrows it down. Thank you.
I mean they can. I mean, and not just for like any given Sunday reasons. I think that if they really continue on that ball control, really methodical way of doing things. Cause and they're gonna have to limit Tom Brady because this is not a team that scores a lot of points. They just keep other teams from scoring a lot of points and that would be the path. But I think the Patriots would win that game.
And then that would put Falcons at Cowboys.
Ooh, that's fun.
That
Let's
is
go with
fun.
the Falcons.
Oh, I love it. See, this is the thing. I've made this analogy before, but it seems all set up for Patriots Cowboys the
Yeah, it
way
does.
that it's set up for, going back to 98 again, the way it was setting up for Vikings and Broncos that year, that incredible Vikings offense and the Broncos going in and trying to win another Super Bowl. And then the Falcons came and ruined it. And I feel like I can actually see that happening. So Falcons Patriots Super Bowl. I feel like that would be pretty fun. That would be a fun game. That would be either way. I feel like no matter what, if the Patriots are in, it's hard to imagine other than I guess if the Texans make it would be a bummer Super Bowl. But otherwise, I feel like all of these matchups are pretty good.
I think so. I agree with you. And I also like just the general idea of Matt Ryan having a Super Bowl ring.
Good for Matt,
Sure.
man. Yeah, exactly. Matty Ice. Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I always like that name. That's one of my father's beers, so I've always enjoyed the Matty Ice thing.
Nice.
All right. Well, I'm very excited. I'm always curious. I'm always curious when people are professional like yourself, what your viewing experience will be like. Will you watch them all at home? Will you go out to a bar? Will you what will be your viewing experience for the game this weekend?
Oh, it will be at home with my notebook, taking notes, taking halftime stats, doing the whole thing, doing the whole football nerd thing.
That's what I should do because I would remember so much more. I'm excited because this is it, I've always thought, and I think this week is definitely playing out, that this is one of the best sports weekends of the year when you have
is.
all these games. Like last weekend, obviously we can see what happens. It's fun. There's four football games, but we can see what happens when it doesn't go right. All the games are terrible. But this feels like there's no way we're gonna have four games like we did last week. And this is the best. Like you're seeing everybody. Every game is so huge. Like next week, it's just Sunday, and that's exciting, of course. But like this really feels. It's just kind of a nonstop thing all day. It's gonna be really fun. I have to say, I'm envious. I'm gonna be running around. I'll be watching these games while corralling small little people. Mine, not just like random ones. And that would be a strange thing. So I'll be watching, but making sure they're not like, like kid eating something that they shouldn't be eating. So I'm very I but I remember back in the day before they were children, I didn't have the notebook, but this was my day that this was my weekend that I just sat and stared all day. I'm very excited. This is gonna be a blast. So so I'm excited. Well, I'd love to we're gonna do a bunch of shows previewing the Super Bowl when it comes. So I'd love it if you do me honor, I'd love to have you back on again.
Absolutely, anytime.
Awesome.
Just let me know and I'm ready.
Okay, but I want snapshots of the notebook, unless it's like a trade secret or something.
Oh no, I've got piles of notebooks. You have no idea.
Oh, I believe you. I just want to know what's on them so I can get smarter. All
Fair
right.
enough.
All right. So thank you as always. Please check out. Thank you very much, Andrew. Thanks for coming
Oh,
on.
thank you.
Of course. Always. So thanks to Andrew for coming on. You can find her work, of course, at sportsnet.com, among other places. Follow her on Twitter at FBall_Andrea, FBALL_ANDREA. This is the Willis Experience Podcast. The music is by the Sundogs. We will have another NFL podcast next week. We may have a special guest at the end of this week. I'm not certain yet. You'll know when it shows up in your iTunes or it doesn't. But anyway, have a wonderful weekend. Enjoy the games, everyone. Do what Andrew's doing. Just sit and watch the games and have a blast. And you're not gonna do it as smartly as she does it, and or as thorough with the notes. But I think we're all gonna have a blast anyway. So have a wonderful weekend. One of the best sports weekends of the year. Enjoy, and I'll talk to you next week. Bye, everyone.